All right, so today we're in lesson 18. We're going to talk about Paul's credibility. We're going to focus on chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. Now, it seems kind of odd to us that someone like Paul would have to spend a lot of time defending himself. I don't think of any other word than that, defending himself. Because here's a church, especially the Corinthians, how did they even come into existence? Yeah, through Paul's ministry. He's the one who established the church. He's the one who gave them foundational teachings and so forth. And so he's got to come along and establish his credibility with them again. That just seems kind of odd, but that's how people are, though, right? I mean, we can't really get down on the Corinthians simply because we're like that sometimes too. Things happen or we hear things and we question the credibility. And obviously in Paul's time, there were people who came up from Jerusalem or who were influenced by the people in Jerusalem who questioned Paul's integrity, his ministry. One of the reasons why is because he didn't emphasize the Old Testament law. He didn't emphasize the dietary laws or emphasize the fact that when you get converted, you need to be circumcised. Do you know what I'm saying? So they felt that people needed to adhere to the Old Testament law. And Paul said, no, that's not right. That is not true. So they were questioning his credibility. So Paul's going to talk about that today through these 18 verses. And so let's hopefully we can have some discussion about this and see what we can find for relevance for you and I today. So let's begin, first of all, with the call for obedience, verses 1 to 6. Here's what Paul writes. I, Paul, myself, entreat you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I, who am humble when face to face with you, but bold towards you when I'm away. I beg of you that when I am present, that I may not have to show boldness with such confidence as I count on, showing against some who suspect us of walking according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. All right, so let's take a look at this. It seems like he's saying some very odd things, but there is some profound truths here for you and I to consider. So first of all, he's going to give them a call to action. So first of all, he's meek and gentle in his approach as he calls them to action. And the example of meekness for him is what? Notice what it says in the text. By the meekness and gentleness of who? Christ. Okay, so he is approaching them not in arrogance, but in meekness, in humility, okay? Gently. Now, I think that's, all right, so let's stop for a moment. Is there something we can learn from that, just from this approach thing? What can we learn here? What sticks out here? Okay, that's a good thought, Tim. But actually, we're talking about how he's approaching them, the manner in which he approaches them. That you're good, but that's okay.
Like he's approaching them like Jesus would approach.
Okay.
Like the gentle, lowly series.
Okay. All right. So he's approaching them in a gentle spirit, in a meek spirit.
Not an accusatory,
but okay, but and they need to be dealt with, though, right?
Right.
But notice how he's approaching them. Okay. Anybody? Okay. It's all in the presentation. Is that similar to what you were thinking, Tim? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? All right, he's doing it with love, okay? Now, is there something for us to learn there? Well, anybody know another scripture that talks about this? Off the top of your head. All right, I'll give it to you. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. So if you turn over to Galatians, my big feet today, chapter 6, he's talking about dealing with people, brethren, brothers and sisters, who are not doing right. So here it is, brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression. So what? First of all, what does that mean, if they're caught in a transgression? Sin, if they're caught in sin, all right? You who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. So the process of confronting them needs to be done with a spirit of what? Gentleness. Now, isn't that similar to what Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians 10:1? He was coming with the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Now, Paul tells us in chapter 6, verse 1 of Galatians, keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Now, the reason why is, all right, let me give you an example. So let's say it's Brad and I. Brad's not doing right. The manner in which I approach Brad as a brother in Christ needs to be gentle, because not that I am superior. A lot of times when we talk about confronting people, at least in my experience, there's a level of people judging people and they feel they're superior. Like, I can't believe, Brad, that you did that. I would never do that. Whoa. Don't ever say you would never do that. Did you understand? In fact, that's what Paul's bringing up. Keep watch of yourself, lest you yourself do the same thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there needs to be a spirit of gentleness and meekness, of restoring. Now notice, not punishing. Bible doesn't, there's only one person who punishes. Who's that? God, right? Okay? With us in our dealing with others and the things that they do wrong, it's an issue of restoring them. Restoring them to what? Restoring them to their relationship with Christ. Do you understand? And especially if I have an awareness that, okay, whatever Brad did, I possibly could do the same thing, so I want to help him. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't approve of what he's doing, but I want to help him. Yes. If he doesn't respond. Yes. Yes, he can be disciplined. Yes. Yeah. So, but the whole process needs to be marked with gentleness, meekness, and the process of restoration. But if there's no desire there, then yeah, ultimately the process leads to, I'm sorry, Brad, you know, we're just going to have to part ways until you can get this right. Do you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's actually a grievous thing, you know? So Paul's attitude, when he's talking about talking with them, okay, this is the point. Paul, he wants to be meek and gentle in his approach, as he calls them, to action. Let's continue on here. He wishes that they deal with the issue, or he will when he comes. So his whole thing is guys, I'm tough with you in the letters, but when I'm there, I want to be meek. But I'd rather you just deal with this, because if you don't deal with this, I'm going to have to deal with it when I come. And I really don't want to spend my time doing that. And you don't really want to see that side of me. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he's saying, deal with the issue, okay? Deal with the issue, or he will when he comes. Now, here's the description of his ministry, verses 3 to 5. So, though Paul lives in the physical realm, he does not live according to it. Look at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. What do you think he's saying there? What do you think he's saying? For though we walk in the flesh, and by the way, you have to if you live in this world, right? Okay? You have to live in the flesh in this world. But he's not operating according to the flesh. What's he operating by? Well, the love of Christ, but by the things that God tells us to do. Because a lot of things, let's be honest, the stuff that God tells us to do, does it normally fit with what the world wants us to do? No. In fact, the world looks at it and it's like, man, what are you doing? That's foolish. You know? Why would you do that? In fact, here he's talking about that we're engaged in a spiritual battle, so we don't even wage war according to the flesh. We wage war according to the Spirit. Okay? So he did not use the world's methods in ministry, but God's power and strength. He didn't use the world's methods. For the weapons of our warfare, verse 4, are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. You know, he said this to them once before over in the first letter, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me see here. He says, chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, and when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified.